Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night, I started this message concerning this subject. I said this was the subject that when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. And one of the things we said that somebody over and over shows you who they are. It's more that way. When they show you who you are, they're telling you who they are. Well, that's dealing with people. But when we're dealing with a God who cannot lie and will not lie, when God says who he is, we need to take him at his word. And so we started, I'm going to start the same place Pastor Bill did this morning. It's where we started last time, Exodus chapter 3. In verses 13 and 14, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of our fathers, of your fathers, has sent me unto you, and they shall say, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. I am. God is revealing himself. He's telling us who he is. It's important here to understand, yes, he always has been and always will be. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. But God is never I was. Wherever God is right now. So when he says I am, it updates itself all the time. And there's some times in the Old Testament, and the thing I want to look at is God, and we made this statement, God has always been a healing God. Now, I know sometimes, you know, even in some of our own, unfortunately, I'm hearing reports, you know, sometimes even in our own Rhema graduates' churches, they don't want anybody to talk about healing in their churches anymore. Don't talk about healing. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to talk about it. Because it is part of God's nature to care for the ills of his people, his children. His creation. God always has and always will be a healer. And so that's why he is the I am. We read in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 and said, If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, which were judgment. It says, For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Notice that. I am. I am. And again, every time that's mentioned in the Word of God, it's right now. It's right now. Then we read Exodus 23, 25 through 26. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. And he said, I will take sickness from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land, and the number of thy days I will fulfill. Notice that. Serving God puts us in a position where sickness is even taken away from the very midst of us. You know, I don't know who told us, and we believed it was, you got to get sick sometime. Who told us that? No, you don't have to get, the Bible doesn't teach that. God's Word doesn't teach that. Amen. God's Word teaches health. It does teach healing. Yes, I understand that. But it teaches health and well-being. Glory to God. We read Psalm 105, verse 37, concerning God bringing the children of Israel out of bondage. He said, He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not even one. Not even one. I know I like the movie The Ten Commandments. I kind of hope Moses looks like Charlton Heston did, you know, with that standing there with that staff. You know, I don't know if he will or not, but that's all right. But, you know, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt there, they showed them there were some blind folks, there were some lame folks. Now, no condemnation to them, but that's not what the Bible says happened. The Bible says there's not one feeble person among them, their tribes. Imagine Hollywood getting it wrong. Just imagine. Amen. We got to quit letting people who aren't even Christians telling us what the Bible says. I'm going to say it again. Quit letting people who aren't even Christians or don't believe the Bible tell you what the Bible says. Glory to God. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Let's just stop right there. How many of you know your sin, your iniquity has been forgiven? Right? Well, if that's true, then you're healed of all your diseases also. Glory to God. If one's true, the whole statement has to be true. And we ended up there in, I like Psalm 107, verse 20. Let's just read verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So God did not reveal himself as a healer just for one generation only. Healing has always been part of his covenant nature. So from Genesis, even through Malachi, he consistently declared and demonstrated himself as the Lord that healeth thee or you. So he is the Lord that heals us. Say this, he is the Lord that heals me. See, now listen. And so when we get over to the New Testament doesn't remove healing from God's plan. It actually reveals it more thoroughly through Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, God's nature does not change. If he said, I am the Lord that heals you, he revealed himself there as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals us. And he doesn't change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. The Bible says in James 1, there's no shadow of turning with God. Well, look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I want to bring this over in the New Testament tonight and get as far in this as we can. And I'm scheduled for Wednesday night, so we might finish it up then. See how it goes. Hebrews 13:8. I don't know about you, but I love the Word of God. I tell students, you know, those that have been in classes, I said, we get to study God's Word today. What a time. What a time. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit teach us, guide us, lead us into all the truth. Hebrews 13:8. And I thought Pastor Bill did an outstanding job this morning, if you weren't here, to teach us that Jesus is God. Right? He's God the Son. He is God. He was the divine man, 100% God, 100% man. Except he never stopped being divine, but he laid aside that ability of the divine to minister on earth as a man so he could be like us, and he could die a death like us. But thank God, that's what the devil didn't understand. Amen. He's fully God. And so when it says here, verse 8 of Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then his healing ministry did not expire with the early church. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now listen, healing is not merely an event. It's connected to the unchanging character of God. God would have to change in order for him to not provide healing for us today. Because it is his nature. It is his character. Now, you think about some scriptures. You know, the Bible says his tender mercies are over all his works. So Jesus said, I came not to do my own work, but the work of him that sent me. So think about it. Every person Jesus healed was because of God's mercy. If he did the work of God, and the Bible says the tender mercies are over all his works, then they were healed because of the mercy of God. God would have to stop being merciful to not provide healing for you today. Amen. I hope you're thinking. Now let's look at the ministry of Jesus. Jesus revealed the will of the Father concerning healing. It's important to understand, and as you read through the Gospels, this one thing. Jesus never refused a person who came to him in faith for healing. Never turned one away. There's no record of him telling anybody, it's not God's will to heal you. Now, unfortunately, some misguided preachers have told people that. Well, it must not have been God's will to heal you, or you never know what God will do. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This is found in Mark chapter 1 also, but let's read here in Matthew chapter 8. We'll read verses 2 and 3. It said, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, thou canst make me clean." In other words, you can make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. See, the question was never about, did Jesus have the power? The question was whether he was willing. And if God is no respecter of persons, which the Word of God teaches us, then for him to tell this man, "I will," and to tell you, "I won't," makes him a respecter of persons. Amen. And that would be against the character and nature of God. Now see, some of these things like this, healing belongs to everybody unequivocally. There's no measure, well, you get more healing than somebody. Now, you can have a measure of the anointing and a measure of the Spirit to operate in the gifts and callings of God, and we understand that. And that's as God chooses. He gifts us, he calls us. Everyone in here has a calling of God. If you're a Christian, you have a calling, and you have the gifts by the Holy Spirit to fulfill that calling. Amen. If we try to do it in and of ourselves, none of us can do it. But when it comes to such things as, there are no different measures of salvation. It belongs to all. And it belongs to all at the same measure. You know, Romans 12:3, he's given to everyone the measure of faith. Implies kind of like a same starting point, if you will. Jesus healed all. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Here the Pharisees are wanting to kill him. Pastor Bill read a couple of those scriptures this morning, and man, I'll tell you what, those religious Jews were the stone, they were the stone-throwingest people I've ever seen. I said in class one day to the first-year bunch, I said, man, those guys were stoners, and too many people had flashbacks, so I kind of had to back off that, you know. God had delivered them from that. But they were, man, they were professional rock throwers. They took up stones to, gonna kill, you know, this guy's, Lord help us. See, they were the first social media people. They say something you didn't like, man, they started throwing rocks. Find Matthew 12, verse 15 says, "When Jesus knew," this is, he knew they were going to try to, how they were trying to come against him, "he withdrew himself from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." How many? All. Multitudes means there's too many to count. And everyone who needed healing was healed. Why? That's God's nature. Jesus said, "I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. There's so many of these verses, we don't have time to look at them all, but it'd be a good study sometime to go through and look at all the places where it says that Jesus healed them all. Verse 40, Luke 4:40. "Now when the sun was setting, all that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." How many? Everyone. So he healed them all, he healed everyone. So I want you to think of this. Healing was not selective favoritism. It flows from the compassion and the redemptive mission of Christ, who came to reveal to us the Father. See, healing had always been a part of the covenant. Throughout the Old Testament, we read those things, even there through Moses, but healing had always been part of the covenant. I mean, there was one time, there was a soldier that died in battle, and they opened up a grave, and they didn't realize that the prophet was buried down there. They threw him down there on top, and he hit the prophet's bones and came back to life. Brother Hagin used to joke, if a dead man's bones will heal you, how about a dead prophet's bones will heal you, how about a live prophet's hands? Amen. Here's great news. Healing was included in the redemptive plan of God. Look at Isaiah 53. I know these are familiar verses. Pastor Bill mentioned them today, but that's all right. Now, sometimes, you know, when we, if we're not careful, we get to, well, I've heard that before and heard these things before. But that, I'm telling you, the devil loves to get us into a place of complacency, passivity when it comes to these things. I've been tired lately and I haven't got a lot of sleep lately. So that's why, you know, I understand why I have this cold, or I have this scratchy throat, or I have the sniffles, or whatever, you know, you want to call it, you know, and that's why. No, don't put up with an instant of it, because Jesus has paid the price for us. It's included in our redemption. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And once again, you know, here's Isaiah, by the Spirit of God, looking forward to the cross. Peter looked back at the cross in 1 Peter 2:24, saying, "Surely he bore our saying about he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed." Here he says, "You are healed." He's looking forward. You are healed. But in the book of Matthew, there in chapter 8, Jesus ministered, laid hands on folks, and healed everybody. And it says that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet Isaiah. See why? Wherever God is, it's right now. So when Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet, he hadn't taken stripes on his back yet, he hadn't paid the price for our sin yet, but because God had said before the foundation of the world, this is the plan, Jesus just acted on it. Amen. Healing is not separate from redemption. If Jesus bore our sin, he bore our sickness. And like someone said one time, what he bore, I need not bear. In other words, if he carried it away for me, I don't have to carry it myself. Amen. No, I don't think we need to back off of this. I think we need to get stronger in these areas. When Peter looked back at the completed work of the cross, he declared that healing was a part of it, part of what Jesus accomplished. It's not just something that happens. It's not God being showing favoritism to one and not to another. Healing, it has always been part of God's nature. See, the early church continued the healing ministry even after Jesus had risen. Some say, well, healing passed away when Jesus returned to heaven. Well, if that's true, then the book of Acts wouldn't be, it's a bunch of lies. Because there's miracle after miracle, healing after healing found there. Look in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, hallelujah. This morning, Pastor Bill mentioned that book by Simon Greenleaf, who put the Harvard Law School, their law school, on the map. He wrote the rules of whether or not the rules on how to determine whether or not a witness is telling the truth. He wrote the rules that's still studied today and followed today in the court of law on witnesses. And he's the one that he said, let's look at the witnesses of the four Gospels. And after he looked at it, he said, we can't deny that they're telling the truth. Amen. This is the truth. Glory to God. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Thank God for that name. Aren't you glad for that name? He said, and he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. See what's happening here. God, Jesus, is still healing people now through his church. Look at Acts chapter 8. You know, because some folks say, well, you know, that was the apostles. Well, here's a man that's not an apostle. Here's a man who was actually a deacon, is the word. He was a servant. He's making sure the widows get their daily needs met. He's one of the seven men full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Stephen's been put to death, and when that took place, they scattered, and Philip ends up going down to Samaria to preach. Look at there, verse 6 says, Acts 8:6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, in other words, their paralysis, that were lame, were healed. Philip never is mentioned in the New Testament as a prophet or an apostle. He's mentioned as an evangelist later on in chapter 21. But here, he's not one of the apostles. Well, only the apostles. Well, then what about Philip? I guess Philip was outside the will of God. Well, when Peter and John, the apostles, came down there, they didn't rebuke Philip at all. Amen. They ministered to them about the Holy Ghost. No, the ministry of healing continued long after Jesus' earthly ministry ended. Paul, we see it in Acts chapter 14. Turn over there. Let's do a little teaching here tonight, all right? You show up on Sunday night, you're ready to hear the word. Especially on a holiday, weekend. Acts 14:8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. In other words, he can't walk. He's paralyzed in his feet. Being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped and walked. And he couldn't leap and walk. He's never done it before. He doesn't know how. But he had faith to be healed. He'd heard Paul preach. Paul's preaching the gospel. In one place, Paul said, "Look, I've gone around and I've fully preached the gospel with signs and miracles." Amen. If we're going to fully preach the gospel, we got to preach healing. We got to preach miracles. Not only preach them, we've got to demonstrate them. I had the Spirit of the Lord say this to me one time. He said, "You have no right to take a powerless gospel to a lost and dying world." If we're going to take the gospel, we're going to go out and preach the gospel. One of our Rhema instructors, it happens to be my nephew's down in Brazil right now. I've got a bunch of folks from here at Rhema Bible Church. They're with him. I've seen videos already. People being healed. They're out on the street ministering to people. People healed already. Amen. One fella, another, they're dancing in the street. Why? Because God's a healer. He always has been, and he always will be. Acts 14, we read that. Acts 19 talks about the special miracles that God did by the hands of Paul. We talk about that. Well, Jesus commissioned us to heal the sick. Look at Mark chapter 16. So, it wasn't just for the apostles, wasn't just for the prophets. Well, you know, brother, the church is built upon the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. First of all, it's not New Testament prophets, it's the Old Testament prophets, but that's all right. Amen. I have a lot I could say about that, but I won't. But here, notice what it says here in Mark chapter 16. Look at verse 17. "These signs shall follow them that believe." Now, he didn't say the preacher, the believer. So let me ask you a question. How many believers do we have in here? You believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You're a believer. Did you know signs are supposed to be following you, not you following signs? Hear what's happening going over there. We better get over there. Ooh, well, what's happening over there? We better get over there. We're running around after signs, and signs are supposed to be following you. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name," there's that name again. Thank God for the name of Jesus. "In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Now, he's not giving us a license to drink poison and take up and handle poisonous snakes to prove you got faith. That just proves you're dumb. That was my opinion. All right? I'll tell you if it's my opinion. That was my opinion. Amen. Because it'd be, I'm not doing it. You can do it if you want. I'm not. No, don't you do that. Don't you do that. But notice what believers shall do. They shall lay. They. Who's that? The believer. So they is you and me. Say it. They means me. Say it. They means me. So what shall all of us me's do? We shall lay hands on the sick. And what should the sick do? They shall recover. Glory to God. Now, thank God. You know, there's a lot of different ways to receive healing. There's a lot of different ways God has made available throughout the New Testament. There's many ways. You know, there are those that God uses in the area of manifestations in the gifts of healings. Special anointings upon different ones. Brother Hagin talked about in that vision where Jesus laid the finger of his right hand in the palm of each of his hands, and that healing anointing was there. He said, if you'll tell people about it, it'll operate. And if they'll believe it, it'll operate for them. So you have that. But you also have just believers laying hands on the sick, and they recover. Of course, you know, Mark 11:23, we can speak to that sickness, and it has to go. Mark 11:24, we can pray, believe we receive, and we'll have it. Right? Whatsoever we ask, we shall receive. Glory to God. We know two of us agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of our Father which is in heaven. We can agree in prayer. James says, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. Prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise them up. If they committed any sins, that shall be forgiven them. Healing is part of the ministry of the church today. This instruction was written to the church here in James chapter 5, when I just quoted it to you, James 5:14-15, that instruction was written to the church after the day of Pentecost. Now you see it through the book of Acts, and you see it there with what James is saying. Healing ministry is expected normal Christian practice. I feel sorry. I feel so sorry for these folks that have, I don't know what's happened to them. Came right here to Rhema. Got a diploma. I know I talked to one of our graduates who got, you know, he's out there teaching healing. He's talking about how hard it is to plow in some of these churches, these Rhema graduates' churches. And they'll tell him, these pastors tell him, we haven't had anybody healed our church in over 15 years. Well, what are you preaching? Do you realize this? What you're ashamed to preach, you'll never see. Now, everybody's not a preacher, so think about this. What I'm ashamed to declare, I'll never see. I know there was a time that in ministry that God told me, he said, you've become ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, what are you talking about? I pray in tongues every day. He says, when's the last time you offered that in an altar call for people to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? And I hadn't done it for a long time. I repented. I don't do it all the time, but whenever the Lord leads me to, I do it. But he said, you haven't seen it because you've got a custom. Amen. See, if you hang around people that don't ever talk about healing, you hang around people that don't ever talk about the power of God, you hang around people that don't believe in the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit today, that's what you're going to have in your life. You're going to have no healing. You're going to have no power. Amen. Keep preaching, Brother Tad. You're helping me a whole lot. I really appreciate it. The Holy Spirit still operates in gifts of healing. He's still working in the church today. We mentioned to you there that gifts of healings, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the nine manifestations as the Spirit wills. But yet all of us can lay hands on the sick. It's part of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many realize his ministry isn't over? That's what we're doing. Thank God for the name of Jesus. You know, we need to also understand and learn that we have the right to be healed in our bodies right now. Right now, as a child of God, it belongs to you. When you got saved, you got healed also. I heard Brother Osborne talk about healing in mass. He wrote a book on it. Now it's all part of the big thick book called Healing the Sick. But he talked about when he was doing these crusades in these large soccer stadiums, we call them soccer, football stadiums around the world. I mean, filling them up, you know, thousands and thousands of people in there. And he said, how are you going to lay hands on every one of them? So he learned this. But he started telling people, you know, at sometimes he said, sometimes I preach until so many people start getting healed, nobody's paying attention to me anymore. They're just rejoicing so much. People getting, you know, people that were paralyzed are getting up off the ground. They're throwing crutches everywhere. People can hear and they're shouting about it. People can talk, you know, all that's going on. He said, we just start taking testimonies. But he talked about how that he would tell people, he would preach salvation in such a way is not just salvation is not just becoming a Christian. Salvation is receiving all that Jesus has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of God. And part of that is healing. So not only, he would say, we're going to receive Jesus not only as the Savior of your sin, but we're also going to pray and you're going to receive Jesus as your healer. Never laid hands on anybody. And he'd lead them in that prayer to receive Jesus. They would confess that God raised Jesus from the dead. They would declare Jesus as their Lord, and that I receive you now as my Savior, and I receive you now as my healer. And he said, when we said amen, he'd tell him, when we say amen, expect to be healed. And people are healed all over the place. I mean demoniacs, I mean filled with the devil, chained up. They bring them to the meeting. They had a special place for them because it would distract the crowd too much. But when they prayed in the name of Jesus, they were instantly set free. Instantly set free. I met a man in Siaya Town in Kenya. We were there holding a meeting, and I knew about this crusade that had taken place. You know, it was a mighty crusade that happened that we'd helped sponsor from our church in Kentucky. And I was over there sometime later. 1998, and this crusade was about a year and a half before that, and they'd had this meeting, and the host pastor of the church, and for the meeting, his daughter had died a week before the meeting. In fact, the people didn't know about it. Cell phones, you know, didn't have cell phones back in the 90s. I remember the bag phones, but nobody had cell phone back then. And they showed up, and the daughter is there at the house of what they would do, and she's on the kitchen table. She's dead. She's been to the morgue and everything. She's dead. They don't embalm. They just bury it, you know. So she's laying there, and these are folks. Well, we better cancel the... And the minister I work with over there, he said, no, we're not going to cancel. We're going to pray. Let's see what God wants to do here. So they prayed, and he said, I remember the Bible said Jesus put out all, I put out all of those folks that were crying and going on and making a fuss about it. We put them out and we gathered it around, and he said, the Lord told me, just start saying the name of Jesus. So they started calling on that name, just Jesus, 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 and get to saying it, and they started worship, just worship you, Jesus, we just worship you. And he said, we did that for about 30 minutes. He said, and that teenage girl just woke up. Just woke up. I met her. He told me, he said, there's her parents. Ask them. It's the truth. I met them. But we were there in this church, and there's this tall, good-looking young man there with this big old grin on his face. Man, he had a suit and tie on. He was sharp-looking. And we were in this new church. They just built this church. And they told us the story that his mom and dad had donated this land to build this church, and we started a church here because this young man was called the maniac of the market. He ran around all over that town and in the market time, during marketplace, naked, hair uncut, dirty, just terrorizing everybody. But at that crusade that happened after the girl, the pastor's daughter got raised from the dead. At that very crusade, he came to cause havoc, and they cast the devil out of him, and there he stood, perfectly, perfectly delivered. Hallelujah. Still delivered to this day. Amen. That's the gospel. That's God. That's the I am. I am the Lord that heals you. I am. Not I was. I am. Glory to God. God revealed himself as healer in the Old Testament. Jesus demonstrated healing as the will of God. The cross provides redemption from sin and sickness. The early church continued healing ministry. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts of healing today. Jesus is still the same. Let me end with this. Healing is not a side doctrine. It is part of the redemptive heart of God towards humanity. It's one of the benefits listed right along with forgiveness of sins. This is no side issue with God. God wants you well. And he wants you to take his healing power to a lost and dying world. Father, we thank you tonight. Excuse me, we thank you tonight. We give you praise and honor in this place tonight. Thank you, Father God, you are the healer. You are the healer. Let's stand up on our feet. I feel impressed that we're just to pray a prayer and receive Jesus as our healer, just as I mentioned that Brother Osborne found. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he bore my sin. He bore my iniquities. He became sin for me. He died on my behalf. I thank you also, Father, that he took stripes upon his back. So just as much as my sin is forgiven, my body is healed. So as I've already received him as the Savior from my sin, I receive Jesus right now as the healer of my body. Thank you, Jesus, that your healing power is working in me mightily, affecting a healing and a cure. In the name of Jesus, I pray, let it be done. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank him for it. Thank him for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Well, I finished my notes. I come up with something else good on for Wednesday night. Believe God with me. Amen. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything else, our prayer team's here. Our man is over here, so men come to the man. Our ladies over here, ladies come to the ladies. And they'll pray with you according to the Word of God. You know why? Because that's where answers are, in the Word of God. All right, Hour of Power, Wednesday night. We'll see you. Don't forget, we're closed tomorrow. So if you have an emergency, you can call the security emergency number. They'll get in touch with the pastor on call. God bless you. Love on somebody before you leave tonight.